Massachusetts, they're tax-free, and they have been for a couple of years now.
Really?
Yes.
What's your reasoning behind that?
That it's ridiculous that women have to spend more money on personal hygiene products than men, and poor women in particular, because you have to have this stuff. We're not talking about an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not a luxury item. This is a must have.
This is true. I am a woman and know this. Yes.
And for people who are, you know, struggling to get by, taking that sales tax off of there makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, to me, that's a no-brainer. There should not be any sales tax charged on feminine hygiene products, because I've always thought that was unfair, that women get stuck paying the bills for all that.
Yeah, why should the state be making money off of what our body just does?
Exactly. And it's, you know, which is why when a woman says, "Can you buy me a drink?" I will always say yes, because I know she has higher expenses than I do. I have more money to spend on beer.
Because you are a gentleman.
I am a gentleman.
You have your moments. All right, JetBlue.
JetBlue, WMFO, Medford. I need to say that. JetBlue. Oh, God. JetBlue. There was a thing about the discount airlines. JetBlue is... What is Jet... Oh, God. I don't remember.
JetBlue got in a little hot water this weekend. And this is actually a local story at Logan Airport. They told a burlesque dancer who had on short shorts that she was needed to cover up. She had to go into the store and buy new clothing. Of course, she posted on Instagram. It started a firestorm of what was proper attire. If you actually look at these shorts, they look like what I wear to softball.
Yeah.
Which... are short, but I don't think they're inappropriate for families. So now the big discussion going on is what constitutes as, you know, too risque or improper.
Who cares?
In families.
Who cares? You're sitting down on a plane. Make her put one of those blankets over her legs if you're that worked up about it.
Apparently she offered to tie her sweatshirt around her waist, but they weren't having it.
Yeah.
So countless... you know, apologies. They said that they would send her a refund, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Not good, JetBlue. Not good.
Operation Bad Odor.
Operation Bad Odor.
Mm-hmm. This is a big one yesterday.
I don't know.
That's the name of a U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement sting operation that netted five gentlemen in New York City who were selling bogus perfume in multiple states. We don't know that Massachusetts was one of the states, mm-hmm. but let me tell you something. If somebody's selling fake perfume out of New York to wholesalers in the East Coast, it's here in Massachusetts. You can go buy it at the Square One Mall.
I was just going to say, I'm sure they have about 2 to 3 stores that are allocated solely for that.
Yeah.
You could probably also go to the Revere Flea Markets is one. Normally, I would say go to the Meadow Glen Mall, which is now defunct.
I think the perfume place might still be open over there. So five gentlemen were buying perfume. They're buying counterfeit perfume from China, which instead of using the normal bases that they use to make perfume, is usually made with either antifreeze or urine.
Mm.
Yum. So
nice.
Douse yourself with some Polo scented urine. There's a good time. Chanel number 2. And then they were printing up the fake boxes, putting the Chinese counterfeit into the fake box, selling it wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
That operation is over.
You know what, though, Derek? That's one of the best parts about going to New York. You always have to take a trip to Chinatown so you can get your fake bread. I understand. It is questionable, the legality of it, and I may or may not partake in it. But do you like going in there, going in the little stores, getting some perfume?
Well, it's questionable.
Now I'm also wondering what I'm spraying on my body after I do purchase it now. Ooh.
Yeah, it's questionable what it does to your skin.
Yeah, I just assumed it was taken off the trucks for delivery, but no.
No, it's made with pee.
Oh,
So you might be reconsidering your next trip to New York.
Is there pheromones in that? Because I mean, if it's a
but see, were these
natural human scent attractor, then by all means,
were these guys screwed up? Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't let a guy pee on you, but you'll buy this cheap perfume, which is the same thing.
I think that's a fetish for some people.
Maybe it is. Maybe they've got a whole new market for this stuff, Chinese pee perfume. But where these guys really screwed up is they were selling it to wholesalers like it was the real thing,
mm-hmm.
which means there are legitimate stores carrying the Chinese pee perfume and you don't know it because it looks like the real thing. Have fun with that. Ugh. Happy weekend.
All right. MySpace.
Fictional. That's fictional. You made that up.
MySpace.
Yeah.
Nope.
That doesn't exist anymore.
It does, actually.
Really?
It does.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Big story.
No, there are no big stories about MySpace.
Yeah.
No, you're imagining this.
Well, users who had their accounts on the one, you know, it was the Facebook of, you know, the past few years. Apparently, 360 million MySpace accounts were compromised. Oh, so that includes, now this is before 2013. So I would love to know who is actually using MySpace after 2013 because it is still functioning. If you ever had a MySpace account and never deleted it, possibility of your username, your email, and your password were compromised. So pretty much every single person who had an account before 2013.
Great.
Yeah.
Put me on that list.
So, that's...
I didn't get an alert from MySpace?
No.
About that? No.
What was that?
Is there anyone there to even send me an alert anymore?
What was that one guy that everybody was friends with?
The guy that founded MySpace. I don't even remember his name.
But, no, he did not send me a message.
Yeah, he didn't send me one either, and I've been compromised in all this.
Shameful.
Way to go, MySpace. Just another reason why you suck. Although you probably suck less than Facebook. Gold medal flower.
Where are you getting these stories?
The front page of major news sites.
Gold medal flower.
Gold medal flower. F-L-O-U-R.
Oh. Recall.
Yes.
See, now I get it. There was a recall... Listeria in the flower, but I know it was a recall, definitely.
Yes, it's a recall. No, it's not Listeria. Would you care to try again? New Mexico, is that your final answer? New Mexico, are we going with New Mexico?
I gotta get a half on that one.
I could say Takata and you could say recall and that'd be a half a point.
No, but
you gotta know more of the story than that.
I know the story. The story was on MSN.com.
It was everywhere.
This morning I looked.
In association with the Centers for Disease Control, General Mills is recalling something like 15 million tons of flour. This is a nationwide recall. They were sold between December 21st, 2015 and May 3rd, 2016. Massachusetts is affected by this, mm-hmm. folks. This is why I bring this up. They were sold at Shaw's here. We know that much. Because there may be E. coli contamination in the flour. I didn't know you could get E. coli from flour. So
yeah,
this is a new one on me. So this is one that you want to pay attention to. Gold medal, Wondra, which everybody uses to make their gravy, and Signature Kitchen's flour have all been recalled. These products were sold in a number of different states by a number of different supermarkets. They haven't gotten that specific about what it is, but if you go to generalmills.com/flour, F-L-O-U-R, generalmills.com/flour, they have the exact package and expiration date numbers on them. If you got this stuff at home, throw it up. Call them up. They'll send you a coupon so you can get some more flour. But basically, don't use it. Don't eat the cookie dough.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat the cake batter.
Well, think about how many products. You know, the average person, you don't cook as much or bake. But for the average household, how much you use flour?
Yeah.
You use a lot. So a lot of things are affected, and especially bakeries.
The only this is the consumer level stuff. The only local retail, the only local supermarket that I see listed in here is Shaw's, Safeway, Albertsons.
What about even a larger format, say from
Jewel, Vaughn's, United, Randall's,
BJ's,
and Acme.
Or but you can
just
still,
Shaw's. That's the only one that that's the only one that they're
mentioning. You can still
buy those
very very large bags.
These aren't. There's a 10-pound size.
Okay.
But mostly these are the 2 and 5 pounds. So these are the little ones that you get and you have sitting on the shelf.
Mm.
So there's one 10-pound. Anyway, no E. coli cases have been specifically linked to the flour, but because they don't know what's been causing the multi-state E. coli outbreak, they have discovered that several people baked something and then got sick.
Mm.
So this may be a cause. This is out of an abundance of caution. If you have small children or someone with an immune deficiency in your home, better safe than sorry.
It just gives Derek another reason to never make gravy again.
No, the gravy came out good this past year, and I thank the Wonder Flour for that. And by the way, that Wonder Flour was purchased before December 21st. So the flour you bought for Christmas, kids, that's the flour that's got the... no, it doesn't necessarily have anything in it, but... out of an abundance of caution, really, if you feel like living on the edge, there is probably no harm at all in making sure you cook anything thoroughly that you make with the flour. But out of an abundance of caution, if you think you got it, get rid of it. GeneralMills.com/flour. GeneralMills.com/flour.
All right. Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson. Can you give
You should know this.
Can you give me a definition? I was watching the Scripps spelling bee last week. What's the country of origin?
Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson.
He's a big name that you're going to be seeing a lot of.
Gary Johnson. Athlete?
Nope.
Politician?
Yep.
Gary Johnson. Is he the guy that married the woman that's running for his seat?
Nope. He is. Give up?
Yeah.
Your new third-party candidate. So he's the Libertarian candidate.
Guy. Yeah.
Former New Mexico governor.
See, if you said Bill Weld, I would have got that in a heartbeat.
Yes. And Bill Weld, who is former Massachusetts governor, he has been chosen as Gary Johnson's vice president, running mate. Now, he, like Sanders, thinks that we spend way too much money on military. We go way too easily to war. Both are for legalization of weed, and they both want to stop rampant, you know, incarceration. Also oppose surveillance of citizens. So on paper, pretty good. He's been, you know, all over social media attacking Donald Trump, of course. But yeah, so we got a third candidate. He actually got 1%. In the 2012.
We don't have a third candidate.
He's like an imaginary candidate.
I don't know why people waste their time doing this.
He's going to be on the ballot.
I know, but I don't know why people waste their time doing this. You're not going to win.
Mm.
You're not going to win.
Well, if people are so against Clinton, really against Trump.
I know. If ever there was a year to have a viable third-party candidate, this is it.
Right.
Because you got your choice between the guy being investigated for his real estate lectures or the woman being investigated for compromising national security.
Which is worse?
Given a choice between the two, I'd say compromising national security is probably a bigger offense than trying to persuade some people to sign up for a course.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to investigate Donald Trump, I hope they're going to investigate Scientology too, because that's their whole business model.
Which is really interesting, because Clinton came out a few days ago and said, you know, it's not a big deal what I did, and many other secretaries of state do the exact same thing. Yesterday, she actually came out and said, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Oh, she
wake up, America.
She vacillates back and forth between these things, and it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. Ignore it and hope it goes away. If it doesn't go away, lie about it so that anybody who brings it up, you can call a crazy person and hope it goes away. And if it still doesn't go away, I don't know what she does in that situation. We'll find out, because the email thing is not going away. Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Not an athlete.
No.
Hmm. Any clues? What is it?
It's not a person, I can say that.
Roland? Can you spell it out?
Roland Garros. Spelled pretty much how it sounds. Roland Garros.
Oh, what?
L-A-N-D.
L-A-N-D. Garros. G-A-R-R-O-W-S.
I don't think there's a W in it. In fact, I'm pretty sure there isn't a W in it.
Is it a city?
In fact, I know there isn't a W in it.
What is it?
Roland Garros is the site of the French Open.
Oh.
Everyone should know this.
Yeah, no, I don't know that.
That's where they hold the French Open every year. It's one of the Grand Slam events, which for the first time in 16 years had a total washout on Monday due to heavy rains that have been hanging around Eastern or Western Europe, I should say. Tuesday, matches were sporadic throughout the day, and the athletes were furious because the conditions on the court were terrible. Apparently, tennis balls like to soak up rain, and once they get wet, they get very heavy and very hard to hit. So nobody was too happy about it. One of the matches on Tuesday, and we talk about greed in sports and the problem with greed in sports. One of the matches involved Novak Djokovic, and he went out, lost his first set. They took a two-hour break. He came back, and then they stopped play a second time just before 7 o'clock. Now, according to the rules for ticket holders, if the match lasts more than 2 hours, you don't get a refund. So they didn't get to see the full match with Djokovic, which would be one of the hottest tickets there.
Of course.
The match with Djokovic lasted 2 hours and 1 minute before they called play.
Just like at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
If they can get it to a certain point, they can call the game or it will be played over again.
Yeah. Two competitors, I forget who it was, or they didn't say who it was.
I'm sure they were really pushing for that 2 hours and 1 minute.
Two competitors simply walked off the court. Mm-hmm. Even though the side judge was sitting there screaming at them to come back and play, they just walked off the court. So it's gotten a little crazy over there. The organizers of the French Open have maintained that they need a covered stadium at Roland Garros for many years. Mm-hmm. There's supposed to be one in place by 2019. This may hasten that. We'll see. We'll see. But it's been a soggy and unpleasant French Open for everyone.
All right. Hate speech.
Hate speech is a good thing that the world needs more of. However, some of the top social media companies disagree with that. Facebook, Twitter, I think Google was caught up in this somehow. Even though there's no social media component to Google anymore, have pledged that they will create a system by which hate speech can be removed from their sites within 24 hours.
Yes, and this is coming from the European Union, who, as we've talked about multiple times on this show, is really on the forefront of monitoring social media and Facebook. Apparently MySpace, it's still a thing.
They also didn't say when they would do this.
Yes.
Just that they would do this at some point in the indeterminate future.
Mm-hmm. Microsoft, also a part of that. So Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, Google, YouTube.
Which means in the not-too-distant future, you won't be able to hear this show anymore. Because someone will decide that my excessive use of the phrase poo bay is hate speech toward the Brazilians.
Babies.
Zika babies, can't say that anymore. Yeah, all this stuff. Peter Thiel.
Oh, I know this.
Yes, you should know this. You should have expected this from me.
Ah.
You should have circled this and said, Derek is going to have a field day with this.
I know this name, and this is what's going to kill me. And I... He died.
Peter Thiel. No, he's very much alive.
Ah, what is it?
He is the billionaire who bankrolled Hulk Hogan's lawsuit against Gawker Media, along with several other lawsuits pending against Gawker Media.
That is how I know the name.
He made his billions investing in things like, well, founding things like PayPal and investing in things like Facebook, and was outed by Gawker's Valley Wag a few years ago, something that he did not appreciate. He has not a personal vendetta against journalism or news outlets or even the First Amendment, but against what he sees as the irresponsible bullying practices of Gawker Media, and is committed to putting them out of business. I celebrate you, Mr. Thiel. Please let me know where your Please let me know where your Kickstarter page is so that I may contribute.
Thiel for president.
Yes. No, Thiel for getting Nick Denton the hell out of the United States of America and far away from a computer for the rest of his life.
Bye.
And for getting all of those quote-unquote writers that they have over there out of work. I support Mr. Thiel and all of his endeavors.
All right, this is going to be your last one. Verizon.
The strike is over. And the union workers will be getting an 11% pay raise. That's over
6.5.
That's over 4 years. This is a contract's good for 4 years. Yes. And Verizon has also made some vague commitments toward we're not going to relocate all your jobs to India.
And that's what we argued significantly on this topic when we did talk about it. I, as I've told you, have a lot of people that I know and some people in my family that have worked for Verizon. Of course, I'm automatically going to side with that. If I take a step back and understand what's actually going on, not what's being solely reported in, you know, print media or news media, majority of what was happening was exactly what you just said. We are going to now, because it is so much cheaper, allocate all your jobs. So when you get a call, you're not talking to somebody that's in New Jersey, New York, Boston, Massachusetts. You are talking to somebody that is in Central America.
Yeah. Not Central America, India. That's where they outsource it all to. It all goes to India.
So
Central America, they charge too much.
In 4 years, are we going to see something very similar to this? Yes.
In 4 years, they may not be around anymore.
No, they won't.
I mean, the thing that, one of the things that
Fios is going to keep them. Look at the contract going on right now in Boston.
But here's one of the things.
I'm sure Marty Walsh talked to some of his union guys to fix that real quick.
All of these, they're out protesting at the Verizon store, okay?
They're everywhere.
Which made no sense at all because
but it's
those,
still the brand name.
Those workers weren't on strike. That unit has nothing to do with this.
No.
This is their landline division.
Exactly.
But
The point of doing that is if you are going to be protesting in front of your location, I can give you a handful of locations, one in Dorchester, which is in a neighborhood, one in South Boston, also in a neighborhood. There's two in Danvers. One is actually on a main street and high street. One is next to the mall. So maybe the one on High Street and next to the mall, you're going to see some sort of traffic. But if you're going anywhere in the city, they are in neighborhoods. The only people that are going to see you protesting and understanding what you're marching for is the neighbors. But if you go because you have the Verizon name, you are now going to go in front of the store.
It's not even the same company.
But were they? But for the average person to understand what's going on, they see the name Verizon. It's still under the same name.
So everybody's dumb is what it comes down to. That's really what it comes down to. Everybody's dumb. Oh, yeah. This doesn't affect them. They're not the ones who are on strike. We're on strike from the landline division.
What do you want them to do? To go in downtown Medford where we are just to put up a protest? No, you're going to go.
Go hang out at the train station. Go hang out in front of City Hall in every one of these communities. Go hang out at Boston City Hall. Don't go picket a store that has nothing to do with this.
They weren't picketing all stores.
They were...
For the majority, trust me, I know, for the majority, they were picketing at the headquarters.
They were camped out at the one in Saugus on Route 1, which is right up the street from their local office for most of this thing. There were a couple of people out there the whole time.
Yes.
Screaming at people.
How many? one or two or three.
One or two or three screaming at people who were going in to get their cell phones serviced.
You witnessed that?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
What were they yelling?
They were yelling, Verizon sucks. Don't do business with Verizon. And you're horrible for choosing Verizon. Verizon's putting us, the whole thing, all the rhetoric.
That's incredibly strange because the multiple Verizon stores that I did see this at, I didn't hear anything.
I'm not the only one that heard it. Other people heard the same thing. Other people had the same experience.
Was the yelling happening at headquarters? Absolutely, of course.
It was happening at the Verizon store on Route 1. They were heckling people who were going in to get their cell phone service.
Well, that's
not the same division. Might as well be a different company. Might as well be a different company.
Yeah.
So everybody here is an idiot.
Majority Americans, yeah.
And by the way, if you want a long-term future as an employee, get the hell out of the Verizon landline division. It's not going to exist in 4 years.
It's not true.
They're hemorrhaging customers. All of these providers are hemorrhaging customers. Nobody wants cable anymore. People are cutting the cord. As soon as they figure out a way to beam internet wirelessly to your home, the landlines are gone.
Yeah, but you know what? That is so much easier to say, yeah, just leave your job that you've put money in a pension for, you've been working for 20 years, just because that job's not going to exist in 4 years. Get out now.
Well,
you know what? I'm going to stay with the job that is putting food on the table and putting a roof over my head.
I get it.
And you know what? In 4 years, then maybe I'll figure out something. But if I'm working for Verizon right now, I'm going to try my hardest to get that contract.
Get out now. Get out now.
That is so incredibly easy for you to say.
You know what? It's like, look, I've watched this happen. This is like being in the typesetters union in 1995.
I want you to go down to all of these locations and tell these guys for the company that they've been working for years, guys, get out. It's not going to exist in a few years.
It's not.
And see the look that you're going to get. That may be reality, Derek, but it is not feasible to up and leave a job that you possibly think won't be around in 4 years.
If you're retiring within three, by all means, stay. Everybody else, get out. Look, I saw the same thing happen in the newspaper business. I lived through it.
And it's
fine if
you're not going to aggressively look for a job, but if something happens to come along in the next 4 years, go for it.
I watched all the graphic designers get laid off. I watched all the typesetters get laid off. I watched all the pre-press specialists get laid off. Nobody needed them anymore because everything went digital.
Mm-hmm.
We went straight to plate imaging. So everybody that had all those skills wasn't necessary anymore. And you could see it coming years down the road. This is the same thing.
Yeah, but if I said that years ago and said, well, you know what? Newspaper business isn't even going to be a thing in 5 years. What, are you going to put your resignation in and be like, bye, guys, I'm leaving in 2 weeks. I'm going to go look for another job now. I'm going to give up my health care. I'm going to give up my salary because I don't think you guys are going to be around.
Yeah, because they all lost all of that.
Well, you know what? Then you deal with it.
No, you deal with it ahead of time.
How are you supposed to pay bills when you decide to leave your job?
Go get a different job is what I'm saying.
So incredibly easier.
Go and get a different job.
So easy to say than actually to get.
I'm not saying it's easy. You got 4 years left on your contract, if those contracts are even honored for that long.
Then you have 4 years
because
to look for a job.
Verizon could sell out to somebody in a year and a half and cut everybody out. This is what could happen.
And,
so,
and I'm not saying that it can't.
What
I'm saying to you is I wouldn't recommend just upping leaving a job.
If you know that there's no future in the industry, that's exactly what you do.
Then you look for a job.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. It's crazy.
You
stay with a job right now. That we live in a time where we're lucky that we have jobs. Essentially.
I'm not arguing that point, but if you know your industry is going under, start looking for a new job today.
Then fine, start looking. But I'm not saying quit with no backing, with no other job.
I'm not saying that either. What I said was...
That was almost what you were insinuating.
No, I said get out of that industry. That's what I said. I didn't say quit your job. I said get out of that industry because that industry isn't going to exist in 4 years. All right? You're fighting over long-term benefits and job opportunities with a landline company. The landline is disappearing. We may not even have landlines in 10 years because we all got the smartphones now. Landlines right now are what the Postal Service was 15 years ago.
But
it's
also
been replaced.
Look at what Verizon has done with Fios. How do we know in 4 years there is not going to be a new technology that they are on the forefront of?
Well, because Google would love to come along and just get rid of all of that. Google would love to come along and just give you wireless straight to your house and sell you advertising so that you don't even need a cable hookup anymore. We may get to that point. Who knows? The infrastructure in this country is a mess. It doesn't work. We'll see. Shipwreck.
We're not talking about the shipwreck in Newport that we talked about before.
No.
Remember the shipwreck? It was possibly...
Yeah. Shipwreck.
Shipwreck.
Oh, you're so bad if you don't get this one. You're so bad if you don't get this one.
Don't preface with that.
It's in your backyard.
Backyard? Boston Harbor. I don't know. I know you're going to be... I'm going to...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I don't know it. I don't.
All right. To your credit, you were taking pain medication last week. Clearly, you missed the fact that they found a shipwreck in the middle of the Seaport District in the area formerly known as Dorchester Flats.
Did they?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, on a construction site for the 20-story office tower that's going up over there. They found a shipwreck from the 1800s.
No.
Full of shipments of lime.
Good to know. I can talk about it at work now.
Yeah. I'm surprised nobody at work mentioned to you, oh, did you hear about the shipwreck?
I haven't been at work because, again, pain meds.
You haven't been back in for like a day yet?
I worked two shifts, and then I took the weekend off for the race.
Yeah. But this was late last week, that this whole thing. I'm surprised you missed that.
Because
that's right in your wheelhouse, and it's, like I say, in your backyard. 617-627-3800. It is the Big Picture. When we come back, you'll go ape over this story. I got to say it again and again and again. What happened with the gorilla in Cincinnati and the child and everybody's wrong. Humanity's awful. This is why we can't have nice things right here on WMFO Medford.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
WMFO Medford, this is The Big Picture. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary here with you till 9 o'clock. Big story over the weekend was a story you may have seen. I'm sure everybody has heard about it at the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Gardens. Saturday, a four-year-old boy climbed over a three-foot barrier fence, made his way through, I believe it was 4 feet of brush, then fell 15 feet down into a water moat, into, the gorilla exhibit, where Harambe, a silverback male gorilla, celebrated his 17th birthday, apparently, the day before this happened. Estimated weight of 400 pounds.
This is a big gorilla.
Yeah, there were actually two female gorillas in the area at the time. They were kind of lured off by zookeepers. And this little boy, for the majority, if you watch the video, I mean, the video's unbelievable. At one point, the gorilla is kind of like propping up the boy. He also is sitting with him in the moat area. People start, you know, screaming, yelling. That's startling the gorilla. So he does grab the little four-year-old by the foot and just I guess you would call it walking around, but the speed at which this gorilla moves, it more was like thrashing around.
Gorillas are not gentle when they carry things.
Yeah.
So he's basically grabbing this kid by the ankle and whipping him around as he's running around the enclosure. Mm-hmm. The video's online. You can see it. Most of us looking at that video are going to say, I believe that child is in danger.
Yeah, and I mean, we can't guess what the gorilla is thinking.
No.
Which really doesn't even matter. But anyways, you heard, I'm sure you heard at this point, they had to kill the gorilla.
Yes, the gorilla was shot.
Then, of course, hashtag all gorillas lives matter.
Yes, then the internet explodes in its infinite hashtag, ignorance.
Yeah, rejoice for Harambe. So many questions arise from this.
Yes.
Who, because we have to point blame to somebody. Do we blame the parents?
Yes.
Do we blame the zoo?
I blame the parents.
I also blame the parents because many things that we talk about on this show, we always say, what is the zero point? What happens to make this not happen? What could have happened?
What is the one event that sets this other chain of events in motion? And in this case, the event is a child getting into the gorilla enclosure. Gorilla World, as it's known, has been open since 1978 at the Cincinnati Zoo. It is a model for gorilla exhibits around the world. The Franklin Park Zoo here in Boston has a gorilla exhibit that is very similar to Gorilla World in Cincinnati. Since Harambe has been alive over the last 17 years, approximately 20 million people have gone to the zoo. In all of that time, no one wound up in Gorilla World. Since it opened in 1978, no one wound up in Gorilla World. Nearly 40 years, 38 years if you want to be precise, no one ever wound up in Gorilla World until this little boy this past weekend. This is an extremely clever child.
Yes.
Okay. This is also...
Now, may I tell you also, moments before he actually went in to visit his friend, the gorilla...
According to onlookers.
He was telling the mother,
I'm going into the gorilla exhibit.
I'm going down there.
Yeah.
I want to go down there. I'm going. Generally, if I have a child that is close to the gorillas and is telling me that, I'm maybe going to watch out for him. Because, as we know, what kids want, they usually try to get.
Yeah.
If they want the candy, they're somehow going to manage their way out of the shopping cart and get the candy from the, you know, top shelf. Somehow they do it, magically.
The smarter the child is, the more closely you need to watch the child. That is a basic rule of parenting.
It's the same thing, though, when you go to Fenway Park and it says those signs, be careful because you know you're in an area where, oh, hey, I might get hit with a bat. I'm going to be a little more cautious. Well, if I'm in an area where, say, I have children around and we're near the exhibit that has a drop, whether it's a 4 foot, you know, from me to the gate where the drop is, I'm going to watch the kids.
Yeah.
And I get it. Kids run around, but you know what? And put them on a leash. Put them on those little stringy things that the daycares have, because this person, the mother, was actually worked for a daycare.
This kid isn't Superman. He did not leap in a single bound over the fence and into the gorilla exhibit.
Tell me, and all these people that are going online, I'm insensitive that I don't have children and I don't know. I've watched plenty of kids. I have nephews that I've watched and I've turned my head and they're gone.
Yeah.
But I don't bring them to the zoo.
That's what kids do.
In a situation like that, we may be, you know, at the house and I turn around and they're upstairs.
Yeah.
We're in a safe zone.
They're little ninjas. They're 1 second they're there and the next second they're gone, especially at that age.
The majority of people, we've all watched over small children at one time or another. We understand that. Yes, I'm blaming the mother.
Yeah, I'm blaming the mother too, because once again, 38 years... No one wound up in Gorilla World other than the gorillas and people authorized to be there.
No, and you are hearing the arguments of saying, well, Why couldn't we just tranquilize it? Well, if anybody knows and has seen an animal being tranquilized, it generally takes about 5 to 15 minutes. Yeah. We're talking about a 400-pound gorilla being taken down by a shot to the back with a tranquilizer that is thrashing around for maybe 15 minutes with a four-year-old at its feet.
The larger the animal is, for those who think it's like the movies and you shoot it and it falls down, the larger the animal is, the longer it takes the tranquilizer to take effect.
Like if I were to tranquilize Derek, it would take much longer for him to go down.
Yes, than if I were to tranquilize you because you're smaller than I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Out cold.
So that's, and for all we know, Harambe has built up a resistance to tranquilizers through the, you know, I'm kidding about that. I'm not going to fault the zoo staff for making a decision in the heat of the moment that they thought was in the best interests of the child. And all of you people who are saying, well, they should have tranquilized it and this and this and this. Stop Monday morning quarterbacking.
When do we value, I'm sorry, and I know I'm going to get a lot of crap for this, but when do we value a human life over an animal?
Always, 100% of the time.
That is what we as a species do. That people have, and maybe I'm insensitive because I don't have animals. I've had at one point animals. I'm not going to risk a life of a four-year-old child for a gorilla.
No. No one is.
That's insanity.
No one is.
But everybody that's taking to social media and saying, you know, justice for Harambe, that's crazy talk.
Justice for Harambe is not keeping...
What if that was your child?
Justice for Harambe is not keeping Harambe in a cage in the first place. All right? It's not keeping him penned up in gorilla world. It's letting him run free where he belongs. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's a silverback. There aren't a lot of silverbacks left. So zoos are about the only place where they can live anymore.
You and also this wild, thing of saying that we shouldn't even have zoos exist and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Look, ignorance comes in many flavors. All of them are available on the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And 38 flavors of ignorance. They're all available for you. You don't even have to ask for them. They're just there, whether you want them or not. Of course.
But a logic person's...
Of course, we are going to prioritize... Let me tell you something. If the gorilla had killed the child... All you would be hearing about, why didn't they shoot the gorilla? Why didn't they do something to stop the gorilla? And all the animal rights people making their noise would be told to sit down and shut up because a child is dead. And then, once again, we would be getting back to this argument and this question of how did the child get there in the first place?
And you know what the sad thing is? The point would have went to the fact that the child was African-American if they hadn't killed it. For fact. How our internet works, fact. That would have happened. Come on.
It would depend. It would depend on the circumstances.
Race groups were coming out at first and before they knew the color of the child and saying, oh, they only saved it because it was a white kid.
Yeah.
And that was quickly shut up.
Again, 38 flavors of ignorance available on the internet, whether you ask for them or not.
But any logical person would have heard the story, would have seen the video and said, how did that parent let that kid get in that cage?
Yeah, which is what a lot of people are saying, and what a lot of parents are saying, and what all the animal activists are saying, and they're all correct. Whether or not the child died, it would come back to this same question. Mm-hmm. How did that child wind up in gorilla world, where the child does not belong? Now, we could talk about the tragedy of shooting this animal all day long, which it's a beautiful animal. And it does kind of break my heart that that's how the animal's life ends. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know what the animal's doing. We don't know what the animal's thinking. They've had every gorilla expert on the planet weigh in. And half of them say he was protecting the child. The other half say he was agitated. If you are faced with a life or death situation where you can either let a gorilla potentially kill a child in front of a lot of zoo visitors armed with cell phones, or you can kill the gorilla to save the life of the child, any one of us, any human being, any decent human being, is going to kill the gorilla. That's what you do in the heat of the moment. So screaming and yelling at the zoo is pointless.
You know,
It's Monday morning quarterbacking, yeah. And you know what? When you're in that situation and you decide to let the gorilla kill the child, enjoy the backlash that you get, which is going to be a million times worse. A million times worse.
You have to weigh out the both sides.
Yeah. Because if that gorilla starts ripping the kid's arms off, it's all over. It's all over.
It's crazy that, you know, the universal response when there's a child in danger is, oh, hey, I'm going to take out my cell phone and take a picture and video of this kid getting mauled by a gorilla to see how many likes I'll get on Facebook. Like, oh, it's disgusting.
Apparently, the father was ready to jump in a gorilla world and go after the kid, and they had to hold him back. So the father, but here's the thing. We have two parents, and they've got, I believe, four children.
Multiple kids there.
They got four kids in between them, so that's two kids per parent. And somehow this kid gets away, climbs over a barrier, wanders through 4 feet of vegetation.
The kid that's telling you, I'm going down there.
I'm
going
to go see the gorillas. Like,
yeah. Oh, hush, little Bobby. It's fine. You're not going to do that. Yeah, well, he did.
Parents, not all parents, but certain parents wander around in this fog where they believe that just because they take their children to a public place, everything is safe and everything is going to be
built for the protection
of children. But there are...
I think there's delusional parents.
Those parents exist, and you can always spot those parents.
Oh, 100%.
Because they're the ones who let their kids run wild. They're the kids who are jumping up and down and on standing on tables and jumping on chairs.
I see it all the time at my restaurant. I mean, I'm lucky enough to work mostly all night, so there's less interaction with children. But I am astonished on the weekends, especially where you will have a family, you know, tables away and their kids are sliding down the bed, hanging on. And I'm talking about not like a 7-year-old, a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Where you have servers, food runners running with boiling hot plates.
Or they're climbing up the fence next to the dock.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And again, I am not a parent. So people may shame me and saying, well, you don't know. Watch your kid.
I get
because it. Because I know amazing parents that the minute their kid is 2 seconds out of their sight, they are running after them.
Here's the thing. If you don't like the kids, go ahead and let them do that. Because they'll get hurt and maybe they'll die and then you won't have to deal with them anymore once social services goes away.
No, my God.
Okay? If you don't like the kids, if you don't love your kids, let them run wild. But you see it, and I've seen it. The parents who are like, oh, I'm in a public place.
You can go anywhere.
I'm in a public place.
I was in Target
everything
a few months ago, and a kid kicked me in the shin.
Yeah.
It's like, it amazes me.
Nothing is safe. You are in a zoo. You know what they have in a zoo? Animals that will eat your child given the opportunity. If anything,
especially though, where there are bars where you can stick your hands, and you know what? Kids' little tiny baby hands can fit through those holes.
If anything, this is a place where you watch your children even more closely than you normally would.
One would think
because
the zoo, the
you
beach,
are
the pool.
Surrounded by animals that will eat your child given the opportunity. I looked away for a moment, and the child was gone. Well, then you should have had a firmer grip on the child. You should not have given yourself the moment to look away because you are in a very, very dangerous public place. Not only are you surrounded by people who are various shades of dangerous, you are surrounded by animals waiting to eat your child. And your child is the first in nearly 40 years to find a way into gorilla world.
It's great. Like, it's crazy to me how much of a like ruckus this has caused.
And it's look, I have
just because somebody wasn't watching their kid.
It's
black and white.
I have friends who are parents. One of whom, you know, kind of took me to task and was like, you know, the other parents say she only looked away for a minute. I understand parents are going to band together on this. I'm not saying you're a bad parent if you don't watch your kid every second.
But Derek, if we were to go radio silence for a minute's a long time.
Yeah. How long does it take this kid to get into the gorilla enclosure? By the way, Why isn't anybody else doing anything about this?
Nobody's noticing.
There was one witness who was like, well, I tried to stop the kid, but he got away before I could get a hand on him. The kid is crawling toward the gorillas.
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to hop over that fence and get the kid and say, whose kid is this?
And you can't say that it was only, because yes, as some people were saying, it was a minute. It was 15 seconds. We're talking about walking through, as I said, a 3-foot barrier fence, 4 feet of brush. A 4-year-old is quick, but not that quick.
Yeah.
And then deciding to he's not jumping down. I'm sure he's kind of dangling maybe a little bit and then falls.
The impression that I got is he started walking through the brush and then just fell off the edge because he didn't realize the edge was there. Like, so, you know, again, 15-foot drop, like most kids aren't going to jump that.
Mm-hmm.
So either he tripped or he fell or whatever. The point is he shouldn't have been there in the first place. And this isn't a fault of the design of the zoo, which, again, for 38 years has kept people out of gorilla world. This is a fault of a parent or parents who are not watching their children closely enough. That's how this happens. The child doesn't know any better. That's where the parent needs to keep an eye on the child and say, no, you are not going to go play with the gorillas.
No gorillas for you.
And it's sad because we lose a beautiful gorilla out of this, and it's not like we're drowning in gorillas. You know, I'm glad that the child is safe.
No, 100%. Absolutely.
Happy that the child is safe.
That's number one.
There is a state investigation going on into the parents. Apparently, the feds are looking into the parents right now. Nobody, from what I've read in the last couple of days, is investigating the zoo staff.
Mm-hmm.
They're certainly going to look at the enclosure, and they're going to look at all the safety records, and
they were just there in April, and it passed
and
fine.
Everything passed. They've had some incidents. Somebody left a door open in the back of the polar bear enclosure, and a couple of polar bears took a walk into a hallway they weren't supposed to be in, so they had to get the polar bears back into the polar bear enclosure.
Yeah.
But they're not, you know, this isn't one of those shoddy...
Defunct, yeah.
This isn't one of those shoddy Chinese zoos where people go to throw rocks at the animals.
No, this is a prized zoo. It's part of the city.
Yeah, this is one of the best known zoos in the country, and this is one of the better run zoos in the mm-hmm. country. This exhibit is a model for the world. This similar exhibit is installed all over the planet. And you know what doesn't happen? Kids in with the gorillas. Millions of people. And kids aren't in with the gorillas. So either we've been dodging a bullet for a really long time, or these parents need to keep a closer eye on their kid.
Great. I mean, there's no more that you can say about it.
617-627-3800. Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. You know, we got a lot of new... We're trending on the... we are, because we got so many people who like us now. Come on over, Facebook, Big Picture, WMFO. Like us. You get a news story every day. Lisa may start posting something again one of these days. I don't know.
I did today.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right.
I posted about the shooting that apparently wasn't a big deal.
Oh. Well...
It was.
No. Which,
at the time.
Oh, UCLA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, we didn't know. We had an entire campus on lockdown.
Right.
And
it started out as one of those, oh my God, here we go again.
Shooting.
And then turned into, oh, murder-suicide, like somebody's upset with somebody about something. Those happen all the time, unfortunately. We should have zero shootings, but they happen. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories of the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends.
I had one too many drinks.
I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road.
And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road.
It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
It happened so quickly, the cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. You know, as if you follow our Facebook page, and you'll learn a lot about beer. Big, big weekend here, especially in Boston, but the Seaport District. Beer Advocate, twice a year, normally puts on the American Craft Beer Fest and the Extreme Craft Beer Fest. This year, first time, they're introducing the Microbrew Invitational. So you will not find this anywhere else in the country. This is specific just to Boston, but it is breweries from around the country. There are still tickets. I think because it came up so quickly and it is new, there are tickets still available for Friday night, which I'm trying to get.
Wow.
And Saturday night. Saturday afternoon is all sold out. That one is always first because everybody wants to get drunk at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Tickets are very reasonable for their events, $55. And you have to understand, this is all you can drink beer. So if you go out on a Saturday night, you know you're going to be spending more than $55.
Nice.
Some local favorites. As I said, this is a microbrew. So to qualify for this, it has to be a brewery that produces less than 15,000 barrels. You're going to see a lot from Vermont. Fiddlehead, one of my favorites if you go. Second Fiddle, one of the best double IPAs that you are going to find. Local favorites, definitely right in Everett, Night Shift Brewing. They're going to be putting out a couple of their new ones. Whirlpool, one of my favorites. So definitely check it out. You can find it on beeradvocate.com. That is the only place that you should be going for your beer information. If you want to look up something that, you know, you see in the store and you want to know if people like it, they rate them. And definitely check out this event and come visit me at work.
Is Medusa going to be at this one?
Probably.
Because they're the guys from Hudson that just won the World Beer Cup.
Night Shift won bronze, yeah, too.
But they won a gold for the best Bohemian Pilsner.
Really?
Yeah. This is a big deal because the Americans never win that because it's a European specialty.
Style, yeah.
And yeah, they came out of nowhere to win best Bohemian Pilsner. They're not brewing it right now, apparently. But yeah, Medusa Brewing Company out of Hudson took the gold at the World Beer Cup. That's a big, big deal for these guys.
There's a lot of great new local breweries that are really popping up, and they're going to be over there. But it's just a good opportunity for these beers that do not get distributed here in Massachusetts. So you try them, and it's good because you can see what you like. You don't like it? Try the next one.
If only they had tickets for Saturday, I'd be there. Roots, episode 3 is on tonight. If you have not been watching it, please do. I don't know that we necessarily needed a remake of Roots, but the people who've done it have done an awfully good job with it so far. LeVar Burton's an executive producer. David Wolper, who produced the original, his son is one of the executive producers on this, one of the producers on this. The first two nights have been fantastic. The only complaint that I can make about it is that they compressed Kizzy's story a little bit too much last night. But phenomenal acting all around. You'll recognize a lot of people who are in this, and you'll see some new faces. Forrest Whitaker as Fiddler broke my heart for two nights, and somebody give him an award for that. Because I love Forrest Whitaker anyway, but he's spectacular in this. Interestingly, where I'm at with it right now, I honestly think that People vs. O.J. Simpson was a better examination of race in America than this is turning out to be. Mm-hmm. Only because O.J. is more immediate, and this is this is more historical, but this is also much more about the loss of identity. And they've developed that piece of it extremely well. Highly recommend it. It's on demand. It's on A&E. Two more nights to go. Take 8 hours out of your summer and watch Roots. You'll be better for it. There it is. Nothing works tonight.
As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest news from this week. A judge yesterday ordered an Ohio man to stay away from the Kroger store where he allegedly stripped naked and defecated on a self-checkout scanner. Colin Murphy, 23, was arrested early Sunday following the repulsive incident inside the supermarket in Hyde Park neighborhood of Cincinnati where Murphy lives. According to criminal complaints, Murphy entered the grocery store and, quote, stripped naked in front of a male employee. The suspect, police noted, smelled of alcohol, had slurred speech, and staggered as he walked. After disrobing, he defecated on the self-service checkout station, investigators allege. During court appearance Monday, judge set Murphy's bail at $2,000.